Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of the Living God. Thank you for allowing us to see in the spiritual realm. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for warning us also. Dear Heavenly Father, it may get just a little tough, but that's okay, isn't it? Your Word is challenging. Your Word will bring abruptness in our lives. Your Word will bring self-evaluation. Your Word will bring what is needed if we'll just let it and yield to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Would you write this title that you do not have? Write this title, if you will, that you do not have. Here is the title in two words. Spiritual smugness. Spiritual smugness. It happened to the church in Ephesus. It did not happen overnight. It was something that just crept in and became a process. And finally, it grabbed the church in a very dangerous way. Spiritual smugness. Notice verse 5. He says, "So remember the heights from which you have fallen, O Christian, and repent." Now, there's something you're not going to find in what I'm about to read in reference to the definition of repentance that you have heard all your Baptist lives. So remember the heights from which you, Christian, have fallen and repent. Notice what is in parentheses. Repent. Change your inner self. Your old way of thinking. Your sinful behavior. Seek God's will that you will find, and I'm adding this, in the Word of God. So in the Word of God is the will of God. Now, what did you not find in parentheses? Confession of sin? Repentance? How many have said you've got to, what? Confess your sins. And you've heard me say this over and over again. I don't think there's anyone that ever steps foot in the door of a church that can remember all their sins. So it would be an incomplete confession at best. Is that correct? Thank you so much. And do the works you did at first, when you first knew me. Me is Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Otherwise, I will visit. Underline the phrase, I, Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Judge, I will visit you. This does not refer to the second coming. The second coming is not the rapture of the church. The second coming is not the rapture of the church. The second coming will happen at the end of the 7-year tribulation period that will also at the same time begin the 1,000-year reign or the millennial earth. Now, there's something I want you to write down. It's a good little note. You lose love, you lose your light. You lose love, and you will lose your light. That's what Jesus says here. I, Jesus Christ, your Savior, also your Judge. I will visit you, not sometime in the future at the second coming. This refers to judgment then and there. I will visit you and remove your lampstand. Look at those words, remove your lampstand. In other words, you will cease to exist as a church. The church, parentheses, its impact from its place unless you, metaneo, repent. Now, this is reminiscent of the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, where he said, wherefore, underline the word wherefore. Wherefore means because of the influence of the old sin nature in the life of the Christian. Please listen. when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will still retain the old sin nature. The old sin nature will be with you as a Christian until the day that you die. The old sin nature is going to be very active. He can be very deadly, very destructive, very deceptive in the life of the child of the living God. So because of the influence of the old sin nature in the life of the Christian, wherefore, let him that thinketh, underline those two words, that thinketh, and here's what those two words mean, that lives by the human will instead of God's faithfulness. One who lives by the human will instead of God's faithfulness. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Look at the word thinketh. It is dokeo in the Greek language, and it means forming an opinion. I'm going to stop right there. Where do your opinions come from? Do they originate with you, or does someone plant an opinion in your brain? Well, someone plants an opinion in your brain. Either Satan plants an opinion or God is going to plant an opinion in your brain. All right? Thinketh, dokeo, forming an opinion. Now, let's define the word opinion. The opinion is an impression or something that comes from positive knowledge. So when you have an opinion about something, you have an impression about something. So you must ask the question and answer it, then where did that particular impression come from that caused me to form an opinion about something in my mind at this very moment? Also, it means, or something that comes from positive knowledge. Now, be careful of what you think. Be careful about your personal opinion. Be careful of that impression that has come from that opinion or caused that opinion. When you have an opinion, you need to make sure that that opinion is coming from a particular positive knowledge. To us, it would be the Word of the Living God. We would also call that divine persuasion being active in the mind of the child of God, forming this opinion or this impression that we need to have. Let's continue. Forming an opinion, a focus on thought, or how something seems from the standpoint of the observer. Number one, this word means to be of the opinion or impression, to reckon, to suppose, or to think, comma. Also add, it can be a personal estimate. In this verse, the word dokeo expresses the ideal of what a person thinks or supposes about himself. There is nothing, listen closely, to verify if that individual's opinion is correct, only that it is the prevailing opinion he has regarding himself. So you have an opinion about yourself. Where did it come from? One of two sources, either from Satan or it has come from the living God. If you have an opinion of yourself, you can become very, very arrogant. Narcissism begins to creep into your life saying, life is all about me. I am my own little God, and I can call all the shots in my life because I know what is best for me. Take that into the spiritual realm, and you're going to find out you're not who you've been thinking that you are. In the spiritual realm, in the presence of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that you are created in the image of God. You have been given life from God. And life from God is both physical life and eternal life. And as an understanding of yourself, as a woman or a man, you begin to see the true reality of life and the true reality of mankind. You also see your need, that you cannot fulfill the greatest need in your life. And now that you're in the spiritual, you're connecting to the Word of God. The Word of God says you're born into this world a sinner. And the only one that can deliver you from your sins is Jesus Christ. Let's go further into the spiritual world. Jesus Christ was sent from God. We have the virgin birth. He lived on earth for about 33 and a half years. He lived in an earthly body, okay, that you and I have right here. He was known as the God-man. He was 100% God and 100% man, yet he was minus the old sin nature. The old sin nature comes from the seed of man. Therefore, every human being born is born a sinner. He is born with the old sin nature. He is born desperately in need of Jesus Christ to pay a debt he cannot pay. So Jesus, he learns, goes to the cross on Calvary and pays our sin debt in full. I say that because there is no such thing as purgatory. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't do a halfway job. He paid our debt in full. Nothing is owed. So when it's time for you to be saved, in other words, when Jesus comes to you and the Holy Spirit, they come to convict you of your unbelief in Jesus and hopefully turn it to belief in Jesus Christ. When you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, at that very moment, He gives you eternal, everlasting life. Nobody can take it away. You can never lose it. Okay? Back to the printout before I get too deep into this right here. All right. Look at the word standeth. Standeth. Stymie. Stymie. Now here's something you don't have. Taking credit for the work God does in us and through us. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore? Because of the influence of the old sin nature. What does the old sin nature want to influence you about? What does it want you to think? That you can handle your own sins. Through some kind of service and sacrifice, you can be okay with God forever and forever. The Bible does not teach that. Standeth. Wherefore, let him that is of the opinion or impression, taking credit for the work God does in us and through us. Let's listen some more. It means to stand fast. Think. How fast do you stand? Are you solid in your stance? If you are solidly standing, why is that so? This word means, again, to stand fast, to stand firm, to stand upright. All right? Go back. Standeth, stymie, taking credit for the work God does in us and through us. Here's another meaning. He supposes himself to be firm in the love of God and in the knowledge of his truth, who thinks he is secure in his own strength. What does Jesus say? Take heed lest you fall. Let's continue under number one, standeth. When dokeo and stymie are combined in the same thought, this verse reads, wherefore, let anyone who has the self-imposed opinion, that is self-confidence and pride, of himself, that he is standing strong and firm. Then Paul added the next critically important words, take heed lest he fall. Look at take heed. Take heed is blepo, blepo in the Greek language. You don't have this, but I'll read it to you. Take heed, blepo, means taking what is seen in the physical into the spiritual so the proper action can be taken. When I look at the flag of the United States of America, when I look at the Christian flag, I look at it with physical eyes. I am seeing these two flags. But God has enabled me to see past the physical seeing of these two flags. And it takes me to someone who is not human. It takes me to the living God who has created all that exists. It takes me to the living God of the Bible who has given the United States freedom. Freedom to live. Freedom to worship. Freedom to make choices under the word of the living God. So when you talk about blepo, it is able to take what you see with physical eyes into the spiritual. And when I take the physical into the spiritual, I'm going to get the proper definition of what I am looking at in the physical. I'm going to get the proper definition. I'm going to get the proper understanding that I need to live as a child of the living God. The natural man without Christ can only live with physical seeing. He cannot see beyond the physical. So he's not going to see what you and I see as a child of the living God, because we take everything we see physically into the spiritual to get the true reality of what we're really looking at. When I look out there and see the trees, a lot of people that are not saved, here's what they're going to see. Bark, leaves, limbs. But when I look at that same tree now that I'm saved, I'm going to ask, where did the tree come from? Was it always here, or did somebody put it here? How did everything that exists in the universe? Is man responsible for all that exists? Or is there someone high and above mankind? The answer is yes. Why? Because I've taken it beyond the physical seeing into the spiritual, and I now know what I am looking at. I'm looking at a tree, but I'm looking at something that God has created. I'm looking at something that God has given life to. And therefore, when I look at a human being, I'm not going to hate the human being. It's not be about me having my way down here as a human being. It is about me recognizing that they have been created in the image of God, and I am to love them with the love of God and have a forgiveness that God has and have an understanding about them that God has. When I have that, I can live with anybody that has that same perspective. Do you understand? Thank you. Blepo. Taking what is seen in the physical into the spiritual, so the proper action can be taken. Number one, under take heed. This word means to watch, to behold, to see, or to be aware. The Greek tense here means to be continually watchful. You and I at any time can be in the process of falling. Let's look at the word fall. Here's the fall. Let's reread 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Here's the meaning of the word fall that you don't have. Number one, forfeit our blessings. If we become arrogant, prideful, a narcissist, thinking we're the little gods, and we do everything and not give credit to the living God, number one, we can forfeit our blessings. What is a blessing that you're here today? What is a blessing that you got out of bed today? What is a blessing that you have your health today? What is a blessing that you're able to breathe and see and hear? What is a blessing that your heart is able to beat? What is a blessing that we have gathered here in the presence of Almighty God? That what? Our eyes have been opened, our mind is open, our hearts are open, and we know that God is God, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know the reality of the Word of God. We know the reality of what we cannot see at this very moment, because we are living by faith. Without faith, It is impossible to please God. Without divine persuasion, you cannot please God. My friends, without divine persuasion, you cannot live the Christian life. Let's go on. We forfeit our blessings, our rewards. When you and I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be awards are going to be given out. Is that correct? Who's going to give them out? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus going to be at that moment? He is our Savior forever. He's going to be what? Judge at that very moment. He is going to judge us by the Word of the living God that He has given us. So listen to this. Here's a Bible. I see it with my physical eyes. But now I'm going to take it into the spiritual room. And the Holy Spirit is going to allow me to see what I could not see before with physical eyes. Now I see with spiritual eyes. Does it have a different meaning to me? Absolutely. It tells me about God who is who. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. That is the God that loves me. That's the God that saves from me. That is the God who sent His Son on the cross of Calvary. That is the God who what? He raised His Son from the dead by the power of Almighty God. The same power it takes to save you and I by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Forfeit our blessings, our rewards, our effectiveness, our usefulness. We will be disqualified and set on the shelf. That's what Paul said. The word disqualified does not mean you will lose your salvation. How can you lose what you did not earn? Jesus Christ gave you your salvation. So therefore, as a child of God, if you choose to be arrogant and live by your own opinions, what's going to happen? He's going to disqualify you and set you on the shelf. In other words, I'm not going to use you no more. I wonder how many Christians now are going through the Christian life. They've already been disqualified and don't even know it. You've been set on the shelf. You're no more effective. No, you're not even useful anymore. Why? Because you become your own little God. This word describes one who falls into a terrible predicament. Or one who has fallen into a worse state than he was in before. This isn't merely the picture of someone who stumbles a little. It depicts a downward plummet that causes one to tragically crash. This verse could therefore be interpreted, if anyone has the opinion of himself that he is standing strong and firm, he needs to be continually watchful and always on his guard, lest he, Christian, lest he trip, stumble, and fall from his overly confident position, taking a downward nosedive that leads to a serious crash. I wish you would write this note. We forget we are His, bought with a price, and called to obedience to His Word and to His service. Page 2. Top of the page, here's a point. Two of them. Point 1. Spiritual smugness. There it is. Is an attitude that deceives a person into thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. Pharisees and Sadducees. Why would you want to think that way? Do you not know the Bible? You do. If you know the Word of God, you won't think like this. You will get down on your knees at your home in your quiet time and you will bow. And you will say maybe something like this, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of any arrogant, prideful thoughts. Forgive me if one day this past week that it ever entered my mind that I would live this day without consulting you. I may make my plans, Proverbs says, but whatever I plan, submit it to the Lord. For He is the one who makes my plans successful. It is not my plans. It is my plans being yielded to Him. And He has taken them and done the necessary correction, and that is where the success has come from. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for watching too much TV. How many hours did I watch it this week that I could have been reading the Bible? How long did I watch Fox News? How wrapped up did I get in all of this Republican Democrat stuff? Have I forgotten that God is in control of everything? Do I really think the Democrats are going to get ahead? Do I worry about all my guns being taken away? Do I worry when the Democrats say, if the churches will not do what we do, if I get elected, we'll take away your church exemption? Don't you ever worry about anything. God is in control. And that will never cease. God is working out His plan and His agenda. And the next big event in the age of grace is Jesus Christ coming back for His church. He's coming back for His people. So don't get wrapped up in politics. Politics doesn't save anybody. Get wrapped up in the Word of God and Jesus Christ and let God go to work. A lot of Christians in the church at Ephesus had become so spiritually sophisticated, they say, we have got to get certain programs together. If people are ever going to come to this church, that is a lie straight out of hell. The Bible said, Jesus said, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto myself. It's not our programs. It's not our ministries that are so important. It is Hainesville Baptist Church lifting up the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, and by His power, He will bring people to this house of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Spiritual smugness is an attitude that deceives a person into thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. I don't know about you. I think I do know you. But I'll say it again. If God could take a jackass in the Old Testament and talk to him, I knew there was hope for me. Amen from Janae. Number two. It is vital that we take this as a divine warning that directly pertains to our own walk with God. We must understand that our opinion of ourselves or the high opinion of others concerning us is not a trustworthy measure. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean. The word clean means innocent. All the ways of a man are clean, innocent, in his own eyes. In other words, we deceive ourselves very, very easily. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth. The word weigheth means evaluates. He evaluates by His Spirit and through His Word. He evaluates the Spirit. The word Spirit is motive. Motive. Why is Jesus judge and we're not? Because all I see is what you got on. Jesus looks through what you got on into your heart. Why should He have access to your heart? He made it, didn't He?
Amen.
Thank you. The Lord judges people on the basis of why they act because He sees human hearts. Flesh is always prone to be self-congratulatory and to excuse its own failures and weaknesses. But there is nothing hidden from Jesus' sight. He sees all from beginning to end. All the public relations in the world will not change what Jesus sees in a person's heart. Therefore, it is what Jesus knows about us that is most important, not what we think about ourselves or what others think or say about us. Oh, there's that word, repent. Would you write this down? I just wrote this meeting down this morning. The word repent, metaneo, it means to take God's view of the matter. To take God's view of the matter. The word meta means to turn. And the word nous means one's mind, intellect, will, frame of thinking, opinion, or general view of life. When the words meta and nous are combined together, the new word depicts a decision to completely change the way one thinks, lives, or behaves. You ever watch these football players? Baseball too. What good did that do? What good did it do? You know what we discovered Wednesday night about the rosary? You know where it came from now, don't you? Muslims. Muslims. So don't do it no more. Okay? I don't need a sign. I talk to my Savior.
Amen.
Through prayer.
Yes.
When you do this, tell me what it meant. In a split second, what was it? I have a high priest. You have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This doesn't describe a temporary emotional sorrow. You don't have to work yourself up for past actions. Rather, it is a solid right. Something as you underline solid. Where are you going to get something solid about repentance? From the Word of God. Rather, it is a solid spiritual persuasion by God. Rather, it is a solid intellectual decision to turn about face and take a new direction to completely alter one's life by discarding an old destructive pattern and embracing a brand new one. Again, what did you not find here? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of God's Word. For the reality we receive from it and the boldness to stand firm and stand fast in the truth and the power of Almighty God. We thank You for the flags we have. As we look at them now with physical eyes and take the flags into the spiritual, we see past the flags and we see a living God of the United States of America that has given us victory after victory after victory through men and women who stood to fight. Some came home. Some didn't. Some went on home to be with you. I thank you that we have an unseen captain of our army. His name is Jesus Christ. Truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for letting us see that with the eyes of faith. Lead us on. When we start to get weak, strengthen us, please. And when our vision grows dim, may our spiritual vision be strengthened. For in the spiritual realm is the operation of our Lord. Also the physical. Thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us know you'll never leave us. And thank you for letting us know you will walk ahead of us. We just have to learn how to follow. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.